Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
When the Lord took Abraham, remember he was over in the eastern country, he was in Ur of the Chaldees, and he was worshiping these pagan gods, and God said, Abram, get up and go to a land that I'll show thee, and God changed that man's religion right there. That's exactly what happened with these wise men.
In this edition of Triumphal Feast, we look at the story of the wise men coming from the east to worship the young child Jesus. There are many myths and misconceptions about this event, but there are also some marvelous displays of the providence and grace of God.
With me to Matthew chapter 2. Lord willing, this morning we're going to continue in our study of the life of Jesus Christ, and we're going to come to a visit from some wise men. I've been debating with myself all week long as to whether I want to do this or not, but I want us to remember the importance of this scene. There are some details about what happens here that over time, myth and man's opinions kind of got mixed in. And I think it makes us miss some of the true glory of what's going to happen when the wise men come and visit. And so I'm going to completely wipe the memory clean of all of those myths by doing this. Brother Tim, you got your pitch pipe on you. People will be flat, please. You're going to sing a low do, then you're going to sing a so, then you're going to sing a high do, and then mi, meh. Okay?
Do, ready, do, so, do, mi, re.
Who knows what that is? What is that? Oslo Sprach Zarathustra by Richard Strauss. Okay. Does anybody know why I had us sing the opening to Oslo Sprach Zarathustra? What movie is that most famous from? 2001 Space Odyssey. The reason that they use that in that movie is because Zarathustra was the god of the Zoroasters, who were astrologers. They studied the stars in the sky. Okay, see, now I've completely wiped your memory of anything that you ever thought about the wise men. It worked. Okay, these guys that are coming from Persia, most likely, were those that were part of that religion. That was the predominant religion of Persia at that time. And so I want us to understand where these guys are coming from. They're coming from a pagan religion that basically follows like what we would call a horoscope today in order to decide what's going to happen in world events in each one of their lives. As a matter of fact, when the word that we get wise men from, well, I'm not going to get ahead to that yet because we're going to thank the Lord for our King James translators here again in just a moment. All right, keeping also sprach Zarathustra in your mind, that means and so spoke Zarathustra. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these sayings, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared.
And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. This is a scene we're quite familiar with. But it's a scene that I wonder if we really focused on what glorious thing happens here. Matthew begins here in chapter 2. This is following chronologically after the 40 days of Mary's purification, or the 33 days of Mary's purification, when Jesus is presented in the temple when he's 40 days old, and they've returned to Nazareth. And now there are these wise men that have come to Jerusalem. First of all, we need to learn a little bit about them. We need to learn a little bit about this king. There were a lot of Herods, and there's several Herods mentioned in the Bible. And actually, that's more really like a title, okay, because the guy had other names. But this is the one that, if you study in your history books, was called Herod the Great. Okay, he was the first Herod after all of the dynasties and stuff that were going on, and the battles with Mark Antony and Octavian and Julius Caesar and all those guys. When all of that kind of settled down and you got an emperor and you got a Roman Senate, they appointed this king over Judea. Now notice what I said. Kings don't normally get appointed. He's got the title of King Herod. He's got the title of Herod the Great, but he is a servant of Rome. Anything that he does that Rome doesn't like, he's lost his job. So this is a guy that it's kind of crazy. Well, let me rephrase that. He's flat out lunatic. Okay, he is so afraid of losing his position as king that he starts killing his family so that nobody would kill him and take his throne. He killed all of his sons so that nobody would take his throne. And now all of a sudden, you've got some wise men coming to his throne room and saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Which, by the way, that was the title that the Roman emperor had given Herod, king of the Jews. He'd already killed his own sons. Now you've got somebody saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? You got this lunatic that's going to get even more nervous. And we know the result of that, what's going to happen. Lord willing, we'll be talking about that next week. He slaughters every boy that they can find under the age of 2. That's the craziness of this man. He's so full of power in of himself that he's afraid of everything. Then you got these wise men. And interestingly, if you read commentary, which I don't recommend all the time, because like I've said before, you can get 100 commentators in a room and you're going to get 105 opinions about what something means. Most of them don't really know. But there's a lot of debate about why the King James translators put the words wise men here. Because the Greek word that's there is magi, okay, or magician, or sorcerer. Okay, and every other time that Greek word is used in the New Testament, it's used in a bad way. Simon Magus, okay, the sorcerer there in the book of Acts. What we're going to see, though, is the King James translators got this right. Okay, they were formerly sorcerers. Now they're wise men. We're going to find that just as marvelous as it was when the Lord took Abraham, remember, he was over in the eastern country. He was in Ur of the Chaldees. And he was worshiping these pagan gods. And God said, Abram, get up and go to a land that I'll show thee. And God changed that man's religion right there. That's exactly what happened with these wise men. Is they were worshiping
Zarathustra. They were in this area. They were learned in the arts of astrology, which means they studied the stars, which makes sense that they're going to notice something really different in the sky, which, by the way, it was in their western sky. They were to the east. And so when it says they saw his star in the east, that means they were in the east looking west, okay? Because it was over where Jesus was. But let's not forget that I think our King James translators got it right by translating that word wise men. Because the Bible uses wisdom in a very specific way, and that is doing the will of God. And I think these guys were. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, there was a particularly large amount of people looking at the skies at this time. If you study astronomy records where they follow the mathematical patterns of where planets and things were to be, there was a massive alignment of, I think it was Jupiter and Saturn and Mars, that almost came together forming one star. But let me make sure you understand them. That wasn't the star. Okay, that was just something that had them all looking up in the sky, thinking something, wow, this is going to happen. Because we get record of this star, and it appears, and apparently it's going to disappear because they're excited when they leave Herod's palace and they see it again, which means it was gone. And they're going to follow it, and it's going to move itself over where Jesus is. This is not a regular star. Okay, here's my explanation of what it is. I don't know. Nobody does. Okay? The best explanation I can give you is I don't know, but I think the Lord created something to bring these guys that formerly worshiped stars to come worship the star of Bethlehem, to come worship Jesus Christ. This was a one-time event. I don't think it was a comet. I don't think it was an alignment of some planets. I think the Lord created this for the glory of his Son. Okay, so wise men from the east. There's speculation that it could be from as far east as the Orient, but truthfully, when the Bible speaks of the Orient, it's speaking of Persia also. So most likely, these guys came from Persia. And if you've been part of our Wednesday night studies, we know that Nehemiah brought the children of Israel back from Persia to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And it was between 1,000 and 1,200 miles that they had to travel. Now let me ask you this question. If you're in a car and you got to travel 1,000 miles, it's going to take you a day to get there, at least if you don't stop. Brother Paul and I did that coming back from Florida, 1,300 miles, just stopping for gas. Don't do that. But if you're on foot or riding a camel, it's going to take you quite a bit longer. We calculated in the book of Nehemiah that it took them between 4 and 5 months to travel that distance. Now, not only does it take 4 or 5 months to travel that distance, remember, the star appears when Jesus is born, which is during harvest time, during the Feast of Tabernacles, end of September, early October. What happens a couple of months after that? It gets cold, okay? I'm thinking it probably took these guys nearly a year because they're traveling in wintertime. They see this star, they gather up gifts, and they go. We don't know their reasoning until they get there, but we're going to see something marvelous in their testimony about who Jesus Christ is. They've already called him, though, King of the Jews. And remember, the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. Daniel was down there. Nehemiah was down there. Ezra was down there. Okay, some of their teachings kind of hung around. As a matter of fact, over in the book of Numbers, there's an awesome statement. Therefore shall a star from Jacob come forth. Okay, even the Jews were saying that there was going to be a special star when the Messiah comes to the earth. I think these men understood the Jewish writings better than the Jews did, because so many of the Jews didn't recognize what was going on. And it says that they have come to worship him. So they've traveled over 1,000 miles. And they're traveling toward this star. But they go and see Herod first. That tells me right there the star disappeared. Okay? Because it's going to reappear here in a minute and show him exactly where Jesus is. The Lord could have done that before, but the star disappears. So they go to the natural place to find a king, which is where? The palace. Okay? By natural standpoints, they're looking at Herod and saying, Herod, where is this son that you're going to have? Is basically what they're asking. And Herod's, well, I've killed them all. Okay? I'm the king of the Jews. Why are you looking for one of my sons? They're dead. They're in the ground out there in the backyard. Okay? This upsets him greatly. But they have come. What does it say that the wise men came to do? To worship him. Don't let anybody tell you that they were giving civil worship to a king. They have come to worship him as a God. Just like Abraham was changed and brought out of Ur of the Chaldees, these wise men, former sorcerers and magicians of the arts of the stars, are come to worship a single man. Now, why is that significant? Because under Zoroaster religion, you have the idea that the stars are kind of godlike, but really there's a duality in their religion that's just like the East. In the Far East, the yin and the yang, the good against the evil, and they're both evil. In their religion that they came out of, there was an eternal good God and an eternal bad God. And they were equals. But they travel 1,000 miles to go worship the true God. Look at the change in these men's lives. There's a little sermonette right there for us. If it's the truth, there's no distance too great. Okay, if you're going to hear the truth of the Word of God, then the distance that you have to travel to get there should not matter. Say, well, these guys are close and they're closer to my house. Okay, they may not be exactly right, but they're closer to my house. So I'm going to go over here because it's a little bit more convenient for me. Okay, what if the wise men had thought that? It's awfully inconvenient for us to go over there. Can't we just say, hail star, we worship thee? No, they understood that this star was pointing to the one that they were supposed to come and worship. And they did so. Now Herod's reaction, verse 3. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now we understand why Herod was troubled, right? Okay? He didn't want to lose being king. But why is Jerusalem scared? If your king is crazy and your king is mad, wouldn't you be scared about what this guy is going to do? There's two main reasons why they're scared. First of all, the guy's crazy. He's killed everybody around him whenever he gets upset. And so they're wondering, who's he going to kill now? And they're also concerned because many of the people in Judea at the time were alive during the wars of Octavian and Mark Antony and Julius Caesar. They may be old. And so they were either alive at that time or they heard from their parents what those wars were like. And they're thinking, this is going to happen again. And they're very worried about that, rightfully so. And so Herod was an Edomite. That means he is from Edom. He is called, though, a Judaized Edomite. Okay, which means he was educated in all of the religions that they knew about. He was kind of, the families were kind of like this. Well, there's some good religion here, and there's some good religion here. There's also a little bit of good in this one over here. And they might have it right, but then again, they might have it right. And still more, these guys over here might have it right. So let's make sure we do all of it just so that we cover all of our bases. Okay? Herod was not a believer in the Jewish religion. Okay, he was not a proselyte of the Jews. He studied the Jews' religion, mainly so he could understand how to rule them, I think. And so he calls in their church leaders. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. This is a quotation out of Micah chapter 5 verse 2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Oh, wow. A governor that shall rule my people Israel. By the way, Bethlehem's only 5 or 6 miles from where King Herod is sitting right then. So he's saying, okay, there's somebody to come and challenge me for my throne, and you're telling me he's only 5 miles away from me, and y'all have all been looking for him? Keep that in mind for everything else that Herod says after this. Okay, still the crazy guy, getting even more outrageous, getting even more mad than he was before, and you're telling me this guy is this close to me. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Herod clears the courtroom, calls the wise men up privately. Why do you think he did that? I don't think he wants the Jews to know that their king was born. Not only that, if they find out and they know what he's planning on doing, he's going to lose his throne. They're going to kill him. Okay? Everything Herod is doing is to look out for number one, himself. There's not a single thing else that he does anywhere that I have found in the biblical record that Herod did other than to serve himself. This is part of it. So he asked them, when did the star appear? Well, it appeared the night that Jesus was born. And they've been traveling for several months. And we know also that from the account in Luke chapter 2, that after 7 days, Jesus is circumcised on the 8th day. Then Mary's purification takes another 33 days. So at 40 days, they take him to the temple. They meet Grandpa Simeon. They meet Grandma Anna. And then what does it say they do after that? It says they returned home to Nazareth. They left Jerusalem. They went past Bethlehem. And they went back to Nazareth. So get an idea where they're at and what's going through King Herod's mind. So he asked him, when did this star appear? I think they told him the truth. They didn't know this man. Okay? They're trying to find the king, and maybe he's telling them something or asking them something that will help them discover where Jesus is. But then in verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem. Why did he send them to Bethlehem? That's where he was told the king would be. Is that what the prophecy says? Prophecy said he's born in Bethlehem. Didn't say he was staying there the rest of his life. There were also prophecies that he would be of the Nazarenes. From Nazareth. There's also prophecy that out of Egypt shall I call my son. Which he does. All of these things come true. But they don't all happen in 2 days. They happen through the childhood of Jesus Christ. But Herod is so enraged. He says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Really? Is that what King Herod was going to do? If King Herod is going to go and worship the king of the Jews, tell me this. Why didn't he send a few Jews, scribes, and Pharisees with them? He's not interested in the worship of Jesus. He's wanting to know where he is. He's sending the wise men as spies. Going to find where Jesus is, and he's going to go and kill him. That is his full intent from the very beginning. My sons, you know what? History records that his sons weren't even trying to do anything to take their father's throne. He was just so convinced in his mind that everybody wanted to take away his royalty that he killed his sons even when they weren't revolting against him. Then there is one that is actually called King of the Jews. What do you think he's going to want to do? And when they had heard the king, I love this phrase. I love what's coming up here. And when they had heard the king, they departed. It doesn't say, and when they had heard the king, they went to Bethlehem. It says, when they heard what the king said, they left. They walked out of the palace, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Okay, again, I'm not an English teacher, but went, that's a verb, right? Okay, the star went. I went to the store. Does that mean I just hung around over the top of the store? Or I started in one place and moved to another place? The star that had disappeared, they walk out of the palace, and I think the Lord honoring their faithfulness and showing them, you don't need to listen to this king. Here, follow this. And it went before them. It moved till it came and stood. Now, if you didn't understand what went meant, it says it came and stood, meaning it was moving, and now it's standing still over where the young child was. And look at their reaction. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That's how I know the star disappeared. If they'd been following something for 4 or 5 months, would they have exceeding great joy to see it again? No, they got used to it being there. I think it went away. They got to Jerusalem. They talked to the king. They come back out, and God is leading them again, and they're rejoicing because they know, okay, this king told us to go over here, but this star is telling me to go over here.
Victorious God, what can we pray for?
I'm thankful that you took the time today to study God's Word with me. Please come back later this week for the conclusion of the message, The Wise Men Visit Jesus. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.